Live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za. Decoded.
Decoded.
On 959 Breakfast. Hashtag decoded.
And that was DJ Storky, Ari Superman. Hello, everybody. My name is Connie Ferguson. Welcome to it, 959 Breakfast.
Yeah. Taking our jobs out here.
So was that your first stint on radio?
Actually, no.
Not?
No. I used to be atmosphering FM.
No one.
Yeah, no one.
That was too clean.
That was it.
That was clean.
Oh, you're too clean.
You spent with Reading FM.
Yes.
That's dope.
In the mid-90s.
Yeah?
Yes.
That's dope. Wow. That's very dope. So thank you for waking up so early.
Thank you so much
for joining us.
Me.
You're welcome. You're most welcome. I don't know. We're hanging out with Karabo Moroka, Kabake Maranglebo, Kabake Mavis. So is it Harriet Kosa? Oh, man. Bila.
Connie Ferguson.
Ah, lovely.
Moradia Masilo.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Lovely. Thank you so much. So, what's happening, Connie? What's happening in your life right now? Yesterday, when you went to bed yesterday, you went to bed proud of what that you had done in your life, in your day?
When I went to bed yesterday, I went to bed proud of the fact that I got through the day.
Mm-hmm.
Proud of the fact that I did what was supposed to be done yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I had a lovely shoot yesterday and it was a good day. The shoot went well. We finished a bit late. I was tired, worried about waking up this morning.
Yes.
But the way my life is set out right now, for me, getting through each day is an achievement.
Beautiful.
And I was just happy to have gotten through yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah. There's something about you, and I don't want to go there, but I'm going to go there. There's something about you that just softens a person. You feel it, no?
Yes.
When you're gazing into her, right?
She walked in. Yeah.
There's something about you. It's like there's an anointing on you. It's the wildest thing. It's the wildest thing to experience, and I'm not too sure if you're aware of this about yourself.
I get that a lot. You know, I call it God's grace.
Yes.
I feel like I do have a lot of grace in my life, mm-hmm. and I'm very grateful for that. I don't mm-hmm. take it for granted.
Mm-hmm.
I make sure that when I come to your studio, when I leave here, I want you to be smiling.
Yeah.
I want you to remember me with a smile.
Yeah.
I want you to think, oh, she's funny. She's actually not as serious as I thought she was. You know, whatever. But I want you to feel warm and fuzzy about your experience of me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a purposeful thing that you're mentioning. You're intentional about it. And thus it happens. Because you walk in, we smile immediately, you walking in. And trust, it's going to be there after.
Aww.
So she's hanging with us for 3 hours. This is no interview. She's really a radio goddess, you heard. She was on the Twitter FM. Uzosebenza la ukhoni namhlanje. Uyosebenza at 959 Breakfast. So we're going to take our time with her. She's here for 3 hours. No rush about it.
Decoded.
Decoded.
On 959 Breakfast.
We're decoding the one and only, the gracious, the very gorgeous, the very humble, and very touching. Your energy is just touching. She's got a great aura. Her name is Connie Ferguson. Love this.
I'm having fun. I was just saying to the guys that York and the radio is so much fun.
It's fun.
I almost forgot how fun it is. But the space is beautiful as well.
So you and your content on social media are like, you're fun. You're such a fun human being.
I am. Okay, listen to me. No, but I am.
Yeah.
I think people watch the shows that I do, the characters that I play, and often they're so serious, right?
Yeah.
Because most of them have been business women, except for Os Mavis, who was just a Kasi mom.
Yes.
But they see those characters and they think they know Connie.
Yeah.
But Connie's a lot more chilled than the characters that I play on TV. I'm silly. I can be naughty.
Yes, we've seen.
I like having fun. I love to laugh. I think laughter is the best medicine.
Oh, man.
And when I'm around my kids, when I'm at home, I think that's my safe space. That's my most comfortable space. That's where I can be whatever I want to be.
Yeah. You just mentioned kids. I'm going to hold on to that. Which Connie raised Lesedi and which Connie raised Ali?
When I had Lesedi, I was 22 years old,
mm-hmm.
First-time mom.
Mm-hmm.
Very scary experience. Just the pregnancy itself was a scary experience.
Yeah.
But after I had her, I think I changed completely, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's it's innate in a woman. You become a mother and you change. Start nurturing. I mean, your baby becomes your whole life.
Yeah.
Right. So with Lesedi, there were a lot of learnings. I had literally just started working, so I couldn't take time off work. I didn't have that luxury. Mm-hmm. I went back to work when she was a week old, mm-hmm. 1 week old. I was a freelancer at the moment, a complete freelancer. So I remember, you know, I used to carry my baby in her carry cot sometimes and go to auditions with her. Go to auditions with her. Sometimes when the shoot wasn't too long, go to shoots with her. But there were times when I would have to leave her, like, with a very loving family in Soweto. Mm. But I remember the first time I had to do that, my heart broke.
I can imagine.
Like, my heart broke.
I can imagine.
Because it was like, oh my God, is she going to be okay? Will they take care of her? Will they love her the way I love her? And I know I'd be at work and my heart would be back home. Like, I couldn't wait to get back home to the city. So now with Ali, life had progressed quite a bit.
Of course. Yes.
I could afford nannies.
Yes.
I had a very supportive partner. So
beautiful.
Just mothering the two was actually very different. Yes, still very hands-on with Alicia, but I had help.
So with that said, though, then how different are they as young women when you look at them?
Very.
They're extremely different.
They're extremely different.
I see them even on their social media pages.
Absolutely. Yeah. So Lesedi is an extrovert, right? Has a mind of her own, and I try not to reel her in too much because mm-hmm. she is her own person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then Ali is very much an introvert. So in a way, Alicia is like me because she's an introvert, but she can be extroverted.
Beautiful.
If that makes sense, yeah. Right? So it's
the introverted extrovert.
Yeah. So the environment determines who you are.
Yeah. Ali does seem like a kid who's a lot in her head. She seems like a kid who's a processor.
She processes a lot.
Does she process a lot,
she
right?
She processes a
she
lot.
She has a very high IQ, ne?
Very.
Yeah, she looks, very. She seems
she's
like
a,
that.
She's an old woman.
Ne?
Yeah, get gogo, Ali. She
an old spirit.
I mean,
an old soul, an old soul.
She's an old soul.
Yeah.
I will talk to my daughter. Like, I'll sit and have a conversation with Ali. And sometimes I'd be so, like, I stop talking and I just listen to her and I'm just watching this kid talk and literally school me about life. And this is like a 20-year-old and I'm thinking, who are you
right now? Whose child are you?
She's so wise. She really is.
Beautiful.
Decoded. On 959 Breakfast.
Hey. You got the swag, saucy dripping swag goo.
Oh. I don't get dripping
swag goo.
Swag.
Dripping swag goo. You even know the lyrics. I don't even know the lyrics. Oh my gosh. I am way, way, way under a rock here. Do you like Beyonce? Are you part of the Beehive?
Not really part of the Beehive, but I can appreciate her.
I tell you, somebody who really appreciates you.
Okay.
Very deeply so. So much so that she even considers you to be her mom. Lorato, your sister.
Oh, I am her mom.
You are?
I am. I took my sister when she was very young. So literally, Kimokudisidze. So I'm like, that's a second mom.
That's wild.
Yeah.
How old were you when that happened in your life?
She had just matriculated, so I'm 11 years older than her.
Mm-hmm.
So I was.
And here you are looking like you're 12.
So I was in my late 20s, early 30s when she came to stay with me.
Mm-hmm. And how old is she? She had just matriculated. She
had just matriculated, but then she had to come and repeat the side.
Mm-hmm.
So I made sure she finished, made sure she got her degree. So literally, ke mama gage.
Literally.
So that's my firstborn.
That's beautiful. So you've got three kids?
Yes. And a grandson.
Your grandson is adorable.
Isn't he?
Yeah, he's adorable.
Very smart.
Is he smart?
And very funny.
Is he funny?
He likes to tell corny jokes.
Yeah.
Too corny. Too corny. That's too corny.
You're an idiot.
But I'm blessed. I have beautiful children.
When you met Uncle Shaw, your guys' love story is one for the books. There's only two people that I know in my personal life that I've witnessed experiencing that sort of love.
Yeah.
Newsreader and yourself. And the strangest thing, both your husbands left planet Earth to planet spirit realm in the same year.
Oh, really?
Yes. And you both experienced one of the most beautiful kinds of loves. The meeting of you and Shaw, how was that for you?
Unexpected. When I met Shaw, I was at a point in my life, that time, it was just me and my daughter. It was just me and the city. Mm-hmm. Never wanted to get married again. Wasn't interested in a relationship. Mm-hmm. Was literally working myself to the bone. Mm-hmm. I remember the evening that I met him, I had just come back from, I was advocating for TB treatment at the time. Mm-hmm. So I had just come back from an activation, and how special Lorato is, right? Yeah. And he was dropping Lorato's friends off at my house.
Yeah.
So I was in my room and I'm hearing like voices in the kitchen, but like male voices. I'm thinking,
what's going on?
I'm not expecting men. What's going on here? Mm-hmm. So my sister friends are here, whatever. So I started walking down the passage, and as I walked, I just heard this laughter that came right from the belly.
Yeah.
Right? Like anybody who knew Shaw remembers him by his laughter.
Yeah.
And I was intrigued. So I walked down the passage, and this guy wearing a black suit was like facing away from me. And as I was walking in, I think he heard my footsteps. He turned around. Oh my God, this good looking man just turned around. And this huge smile played across his face, and he took out his hand and go, "Hi, I'm Shona." You know, I think I just stood there for a second before I went, oh, hi, I'm Connie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we just started talking, and we had so much in common.
Yeah.
He was from Botswana, so first of all, it was very refreshing to speak Setswana.
Setswana,
like proper Setswana with someone, you know, so it immediately felt like home.
Mm-hmm.
Like immediately felt like home.
Isn't that weird when you meet a person? You don't know from a bar of soap.
Yeah.
But with immediate effect, they feel so familiar.
Yes.
Did it not scare you?
It was exciting in the moment, but afterwards when I thought about it, yeah, it became a bit scary.
What about it scared you?
Because, remember, I didn't want relationships. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to get married again.
Mm-hmm.
But literally, we met on the 31st of July. In October, Mahadi had been paid. End of November, we had our white wedding. Like literally it happened that quickly. So the feelings developed so quick. It was like a whirlwind, right? Mm-hmm. So I remember saying to myself, "Cons, just go with it."
Really?
Because I had never felt like that in my whole entire life. Nobody had ever affected me
like that.
The way that man did.
My gosh, she's going nowhere.
Yeah.
She's here until 9. We're taking our time with her. We're decoding Connie
Let's
Ferguson.
Decode.
Yo. 7:29, everyone. If you're just tuning in, you found the right Kaya for yourself here. Thank you very much. 959 Breakfast. Danko Issa, thank you.
Decoded.
Decoded.
On 959 Breakfast.
This is D'Angelo live. Brown Sugar. What I'd give to experience this one live. Yeah, he's just quality, man, eh? Do you think he still has the same quality as the topless video?
No, he's gained weight.
I was gonna ask, is that V still there?
Yo, because that V just how is Connie?
Hey!
No, I'll take it.
Who doesn't remember that V?
It's attack, I'm screening and I'm feeling hi!
You.
The graceful one.
Who doesn't know that V?
Yeah,
brown sugar, babe.
When I do feelings.
Today was going to make me naughty in studio. This is bad.
So, speaking of live music and such, do you enjoy live musical experiences?
I do. I haven't been to many, to be honest. Mm-hmm. But when I do, yes.
Beautiful. Karaoke? Do you do karaoke?
Okay. I sing in my shower, Dineo.
You hit those notes.
I sing in my shower. Which karaoke song
is your go-to?
You know, I love everything Mariah Carey.
Mm-hmm.
I love Christina Aguilera.
Please kill the music there.
And it's like the difficult songs, right?
Is it?
Yeah.
We want to hear this shower, Connie. This Connie Ferguson in the shower.
Yes. Pretend you're in the shower right now.
Oh, wait, did I say?
Oh, wait. Oh, we have lyrics.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's go, Connie.
Oh, have we started singing?
Oh.
Okay, there.
Yeah. Decoded
on 959 Breakfast.
Auntie Connie, you are a businesswoman. Is this something that was always in you? Or did you learn to become a businesswoman by seeing opportunities as your popularity and fame and star grew?
I think I was always an entrepreneur as a child.
Yeah.
From childhood. Obviously at the time, you don't know that that's what is, that is called. Because yeah. you're literally doing things to survive, right?
Yeah.
When I was in my early teens, I had a mini hair salon at home.
Is it?
Wow. Yes.
And were you actually doing people's hair?
Oh yeah.
Really?
These hands are blessed.
Yay.
I would touch your head and your hair would just grow.
Grow.
Like literally. So I had a lot of clients.
Yeah.
My mom used to make Maguenya ointments.
Mm-hmm.
And I would sell that at school. I used to sell sweets at school. So, I mean, I started buying the onions, you know, like vegetables uh-huh. for Kontlong when I was very young. My early teens, I was already buying groceries.
Is it?
So, yeah. The business woman, as I suppose, has always been innate.
Mm-hmm.
So it was more taking it now to a professional level
mm-hmm.
where it's not just me hustling to make money, but me actually empowering people and employing people.
Because you've done that well. You've done that well. I mean, we're talking here Ferguson Films.
Yeah.
That's one. Iconic Fit. I like how you played with your name,
with my name.
In Iconic Fit. Yeah, it's spelled I-C-O-N-N-I-E-C.
That's correct.
Fit, right?
Yeah.
Connie Personal Care.
Yeah.
Connie Body.
Mm.
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
You're building a solid empire structure here.
It's a process. I'm trying.
Yeah.
You know, when you do what we do, which is in entertainment,
mm-hmm.
One, it can be short-lived, but if you have a plan, you can actually ride it out for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
But while you're riding this wave, know that it will stabilize at one point, but then what do you have apart from being famous?
Mm-hmm.
So I had always told myself that I was never going to be more famous than I'm worth.
Oh.
So it was important for me. Fame is literally a side effect of what I do.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
What I do is I'm a business.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I see myself. So if I'm not going to monetize Connie, everybody else around me makes money off of Connie, except Connie.
Dude, you are literally speaking the gospel here. How do you teach people? Because we've got a thing here, right? We call it the 959ers, right?
Yeah.
And I'm so passionate about this movement, Yedi 959ers, because these are a bunch of human beings doing the best they can in their 9 to 5s.
Yeah.
They don't see time because the minute they knock off at 5 o'clock, they are trying to monetize whatever it is that's intellectual about them, that their own intellectual property, right? They're
right.
entrepreneurs.
Yes.
How do you teach them to ride the plan as it meanders, because every now and again it meanders.
Yeah.
To ride it out to stability like you have.
Yeah. I think the important thing to remember is that things won't always go right.
Mm-hmm.
You will meet a lot of stumbling blocks that may actually discourage you.
Mm-hmm.
Stay the course. never be discouraged. If you have to change direction, then change direction, mm-hmm. but stay the course. Mm-hmm. As long as you know where you're going, make sure you get there.
Mm-hmm. How do you choose what to go into, which sector to go into? Because mm-hmm. I remember mm-hmm. growing up seeing your body cream and your cosmetic stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, how did that come about? Did someone, like a business person, come to you to propose it, or was it something you've always wanted to go into?
I believe God talks to us in different ways, right?
I love this.
Like, we're having this conversation now. I may pick up something from this conversation to say, you know what? What he said was so profound. Mm. What if I do this about that?
Mm.
So I've always loved to look good, to smell good. Mm. And that's where this stemmed from,
mm-hmm.
is that every time I walked into a room, someone would say to me, oh, wow, you smell so good. What are you wearing? Mm. So this, what are you wearing? I was always selling someone else's product.
Mm.
And I thought, wait a minute. What if I create my own signature? Because I started with perfume.
Yeah.
Wow. What if I create my own signature scent? See how people receive it?
Mm-hmm.
Will they still go, what are you wearing when I'm wearing my own scent? And it worked.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So now, instead of selling someone else's product, when someone says, what are you wearing? Oh, wow, your skin looks so good. What's
mm-hmm.
You know, so give the people what they want, but let it work for you as well.
I love that. Talk to me about Iconic Fit. There's this new persona of yours on social media. Once again, I'm going to go to social media. That's as close as we can get to you.
Yeah.
Through your social media.
Right.
You're at the gym all the time. Does Iconic Fit have anything to do with this phase that you're in? And I don't think it's a phase. You've always liked to look good. Now social media makes us know how you maintain.
Right. For me, it's more than just about looking good, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been shy to admit that I suffer depression.
Really?
Yeah. So when
Combs, are you serious?
Yeah. But it's cool. I know, so I can manage it, right?
Wow.
Yeah.
There was a time when I was on antidepressants for, I think it was 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And
that's heavy, huh?
That was heavy. And then I decided that wasn't going to be my life, right? So I did therapy. A psychologist that almost didn't work for me. Then mm-hmm. I saw a trauma counselor. And this is interesting to know as well, that the way they work is different.
Mm-hmm.
Like the way a psychologist works is different from the way a trauma counselor, mm-hmm. because their approach is different. So I mm-hmm. saw all of them. Eventually went off the antidepressants.
Mm-hmm.
But I found what actually makes me happy and boosts my mood all the time is exercise.
Mm.
So that's how I manage it. So mm-hmm. The looking good is a good side effect of why I do it. But yeah, it's literally just to stabilize my mood, to lift my, it makes me happy.
Yeah.
When it's overcast for too long, I'm the most miserable person. I can't stand winter. I get sad in winter.
Really?
Yeah.
How do you describe depression to a person who's not too sure how to describe it or how to understand it?
You almost feel like you're not yourself. You know, it's you're literally having an out-of-body experience all the time. It's like, who's this person?
Mm.
You don't want to wake up in the morning. Your alarm goes off. You switch off the clock. You literally just want to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to talk
mm-hmm.
A lot of the times.
Mm-hmm.
You don't really know what you're feeling when you're feeling it. You don't know what is wrong. Sometimes someone will ask you, are you okay?
Mm.
And just that question will trigger you.
So would you equate it to a lack of vitality?
Definitely.
Sure.
Definitely.
Connie Ferguson in the house, ladies and gents.
Decoded. On 959 Breakfast.
Cat 959, 959 Breakfast, on the street, on the air. The love you had. You were telling us a story earlier about how you met Shaw.
Yeah.
Uncle Shaw.
Yes.
Do you remember which month that was?
31st of July.
July
31st.
This is so wild, man. I'm gonna cry.
We're not crying today.
We're definitely okay. We're not crying because if you met him in July, you lost him in July.
Literally a day before, it would have been 20 years that we knew each other.
I cannot not cry.
Yeah. I remember the last day I saw him. I literally, he owed me a dance. You know, this guy owed me a dance. Because we were supposed to renew our vows at 20 years again. Like it was our plan to do that every 10 years.
Yeah.
And we had this dance planned for our 20th. And I remember when he was in hospital, I kept on reminding him that he owes me a dance. So he's not going anywhere. You know. And very early morning of the 30th, you know, like I was so holding out for the 31st just to complete the 20. Mm. I said to him, you know, one more day and you and I will be like 20. Yeah, and it didn't quite pan out that way.
How did they break the news to you? Who broke the news to you?
They called us back to the hospital. So I spent the night of the 29th at the hospital with him. Mm-hmm. And in the morning, I think around 9 o'clock, they said to my sister and I that, you know, we can go home, freshen up. It's fine, he's stable. We'll maybe take a nap and then we'll come back. Mm-hmm. So that morning, I'm in the shower, but something is just not sitting right in my spirit. So I come out, I look at my phone, and I have like, sure, endless missed calls mm. from the hospital. Mm. And my heart just sank. Mm. So I called back, and they said, you need to come back now. So I don't even remember wiping myself. I literally just put on tracksuits and ran. So by the time we got there, I mean, I just had to look at their faces to know he had departed. And I was so mad. Hey, I was mad because I wanted to be there.
Yeah,
I wanted to be there, but clearly he didn't want to put me through that. Not that it made any difference, to be honest, because just hearing that was like, I don't know. I think this whole year has been strange for me.
Of course, yeah, of course.
Do you remember the last conversation with him?
I remember the last thing I said to him and the last thing he said to me before they put him under, before they intubated him. Mm-hmm. He wasn't okay that day, and I could tell, right? So I was just sitting there massaging his feet and mm-hmm. looking at him, and just my heart breaking for him because he had suffered so much. Mm-hmm. And as I was massaging his feet, I just looked at him and he was looking at me, and I said to him, you're my soulmate. So he couldn't speak because he had that CPAP mm-hmm. mask on. Mm-hmm. And he just said, you know, like,
he pointed at himself.
Yeah,
and
you're my soulmate too. Right? So that was literally the last words spoken to each other before he was under. Obviously, I've spoken to him a lot after that, hoping he can hear me. Communication, that was it.
I feel like, you know that part of the movie when you cry? And I'm not crying because it is sad, but because I believe in love so much.
Love is a beautiful thing.
You know love.
Love is a beautiful thing.
I think it's just a beautiful story that you met him in July and you lost him in July.
Love is a beautiful thing. You know, we say is. God is love, right?
It is.
We see him in so many people.
Yeah.
And I think I had the best part of God in Sean.
That's so romantic. That's so beautiful. It's so poetic. You had the best part of God in Sean. Mm. There are people listening right now and they don't know how to forgive God for taking that love away. They're angry. They're hurting because they relate so deeply to your story. How did you forgive the pain? And I'm not going to say God because I don't want to assume that you were mad at God.
Yeah.
But how did you forgive? Because there is something to forgive there in order to move on.
It's a process. Mm-hmm. It's not... I was angry about a lot of things. I was angry that we fought because we did. Mm-hmm. When Sean was sick, I was sick as well. So mm-hmm. I didn't even have time to take care of myself. Mm-hmm. We prayed. Mm-hmm. We fasted. We mm-hmm. had prayer groups. We did everything. And then I remember... you know when you pray and you trust God for that miracle mm-hmm. and you really believe, because prayer is also faith-based, right?
Absolutely.
You have to believe it for it to happen. Mm-hmm. And we really believed he was going to come out of that. So when it didn't happen, I suppose in a way I felt like I failed, or I felt like, I don't know, were my prayers not earnest enough? I don't know. I just had so many questions. Mm-hmm. I was scared. I was angry. I was... hurting. I don't know. I just couldn't see tomorrow without my husband. I really couldn't see tomorrow without Shaw, because we were like this.
Of course. He was your lighty man.
He was my lighty man. You know, we were twins, literally. So it took a lot of people praying for me. Mm. Not just me praying for myself. It literally took the nation praying for me and my family. Mm. It took friends and family praying with us. Mm-hmm. It really took me going into my corner and just crying my eyes out and telling God what disappointed me, telling God what I believed and it didn't happen, it didn't work out. So what does that mean? You know, telling God that when I met my husband, I had said to God,
Not again.
You know, my daughter meant the world to me. So I wasn't going to bring someone into my life that was just going to disrupt our lives. So my big thing was, why give me such a perfect thing only to rip it from me?
And it was ripped.
Yeah, only to rip it from me. I mean, I struggled with that, you know. And then I suppose I came into myself and just said, you know what? I don't know. I always believed that Shaw's and I's purpose were aligned. So maybe my husband lived out his purpose. So now it's time for me to rediscover what my purpose is. Hmm. I can't stop living because Shaw is not here. One, I would be dishonoring him. I would be dishonoring God. Mm-hmm. Because I was sick and God saved my life. I made it. Why? Why did I make it?
Did you ever battle with survivor's guilt?
I did. I did.
I mean, this week marks a year later, literally, exactly. How's it been for you, like, just going through this week?
When the month started, I think I was overthinking it a bit. I actually got sick. Mm. I think I was overthinking it a bit because I just thought, oh, my God, it's this month. How am I going to get through this month? And I've just been in prayer constantly. I got sick. I had bronchitis for 3 weeks, but the symptoms were weird because even the antibiotics and everything else that they gave me didn't work. So I almost feel like I had empathy syndrome, if that makes sense, because my throat felt like literally they had put something down my throat. And so everything that my husband went through when he was sick, I felt like I was feeling.
Sure.
I'm a lot better now. My voice is back.
Yeah.
But I think I've resolved that I know God loves me.
Of course.
I know the Lord has been my strength throughout this whole year. Otherwise, I wouldn't have survived. Mm. I didn't go back onto antidepressants. That in itself is a miracle.
Yeah.
So there's a reason why I survived and I keep surviving. There has to be a reason. You know, I just need to continue on this journey of, I'm going to say, rediscovering my soul purpose now. Because my purpose with my partner lived itself out. He served his purpose.
Yeah. Speaking on that, what was like your one wish for him that maybe breaks your heart, you feel like it was never fulfilled? Or did the universe work in such a way that his life, you feel, was fulfilled?
No, I don't think so. And maybe this is just me selfishly. Maybe it was. Mm-mm. But I think selfishly, I feel like, sure, my husband was a hard worker. He was always working.
He was.
And we were at a point in our lives where now we were able to balance a little bit more. We would work hard, but we'd also take breaks as a family and just enjoy life. Mm-hmm. I feel like he was at that point where he needed now to start enjoying
the fruits of his hard work.
And he just never really got to. And we were in the process of going into pre-production for Kings of Joburg 2.
Yes.
Scripts done, everything. He was still in it, the lead, everything. He was so excited about this project. He never got to be a part of it in.
Of course.
Because he is a part of it, right? Yeah. But I mean, in his physical form, he never got to be a part of it. And that broke my heart because I knew how excited he was about it. But you know, I hope what we've done with the show now, because obviously we had to rewrite him.
Yes.
I hope we've made him proud. I mean,
I think you would have made him proud, because if I look closely at the manner in which you guys have learned from each other.
Yeah.
How to be great producers and how you guys have taken learnings from other people as well.
Yeah.
Together, I think he's left you with a lot of inspiration. Yeah. I don't think you'll ever run short of inspiration from Uncle Shaw.
No.
Even in spirit, for years on.
Yeah.
And I have full faith that Kings of Joburg 2 is going to be absolutely amazing. Because also the passion is different. You have to make him proud.
Absolutely.
You have to make him proud. Yeah. You can't drop the ball now.
Yeah.
I think one other thing that you are going to superbly make him proud about is his legacy with the Shauna Ferguson Foundation.
Yeah.
Want to unpack that in a bit as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Decoded.
Decoded.
On 959 Breakfast.
Good morning to you. If you're just tuning in, you are the westest of the latest.
Odoile.
Uncle T, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
For bright day, I'm in studio.
It's bright and right. How we roll.
That's right. Why is it going to go out more often? Because, hey, Dinu Shapila has style. Look
at her.
Anticons.
Yes, babe.
I've got a person on the line that you must guess who they are, right?
Oh, she.
Hi, how are you? Good morning. Not yet. Okay, we're getting there.
Okay.
So while we're waiting for that person on the line, you corrected me off air. Thank you.
Okay.
Because every moment be of a teachable spirit. It is not the Shauna Ferguson Foundation. It is the Ferguson Foundation.
It's the Ferguson Foundation. We came up with it when Shaw was still around.
Mm-hmm.
So we were going to launch it together.
Mm-hmm.
And then we both got sick and what happened.
Yeah.
So the launch was delayed and we were supposed to launch last year.
Mm-hmm.
And then COVID happened again.
Yeah.
And then all the restrictions came again.
That darn thing.
Yeah. And, you know, we just couldn't risk people for the sake of having a party and launching a foundation. So we've put it off for so long, and finally the launch is happening on the 5th of August.
Beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful. The Ferguson Foundation, .. to be continued, what that is all about. I got this lovely human being on the line. Please kill the music. Hello, good morning.
Hello.
This person is all yours. You must guess who this is.
Hello.
Hi, baby.
Hi, Babs.
Oh, my God.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm fine. How did they get you on the line? Oh my God! This guy is my steering, guys. Okay, yeah. I'm talking to my steering right now. How's it, Popso?
I'm fine, my love.
Good, good. They woke you up early. Like I heard when you wake up early, anyway.
No, I'm preparing for gym.
You're preparing for gym.
Mm.
That's good to hear, Papi. Are you okay?
My voice. Your voice is. It's nice.
My voice is nice.
And bright. Thank you, God.
And thank you, Lord Jesus. No, I'm good, Babso. I'm good. I'm fine.
Thanks, mother.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Everything. We might come there Sunday.
Oh, okay. I'll call you offline, ne, Babso?
Okay, my love.
Okay. Love you.
Love you, baby.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Who is this?
That's my dad.
Our producer is a flex.
No,
like
he's
I'm
an
telling
absolute
you.
Flex.
Yeah,
no,
he's a flex.
My dad is in Botswana, by the way, so that's why I'm like, how did you get him?
Fentilite, you did it again, man. Fentilite, you did it again, man.
This was a pleasant surprise. No, Billy, I thought it can't be. It's like, oh, wait, hello, Bamsa.
He's still active. I think you did post about
he's still very active.
Not so long ago how active he still is. Is it karate? What is it?
Karate. Yeah.
He does karate?
Yeah, he's a sensei. 6'10".
Really?
Yeah.
Black. Oh, when up about give Mr. Miyagi a man need it.
So you don't mess with me, ne? I'm just saying.
When I be you are not Daniel's son, you are Connie's daughter. Connie's daughter.
Yeah.
Works out.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
I love that for you. I love the life of your parent for you.
Decoded. On 959 Breakfast.
This is 959 Breakfast. Decoding Connie Ferguson. What an incredible human being she is. You are so much fun.
Thank you.
We had so much fun. Insane fun.
I did too.
Glad.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. Boise, you're on the line. Boise, good morning. How are you?
Connie, this is Connie, how are you?
I'm alright, how are you, Boise?
Yes, Connie, I just want to hear you speak Zulu. This is Zulu Sako, it's just a best. Unjani, Sis Connie.
Hi, Nkona, but Unjani, when?
Thank you, Connie. So, I mean, what much? It's not my win.
Ganin. Ngizovakasha.
Thanks for the call, Boise. Alrighty, then I'm going to take Nurse on the line. Nurse, good morning.
Good morning, Janelle. How are you?
Fantastic, sis. I'm great. Thank you.
I'm fine. Can I please say hi to Connie?
Hello. How are you?
Hi, Connie. Nika.
Kete mo kai mo tag.
Redom mo kai. Tuwe ali hongela ra kolobat.
Oso kolobat si.
Matwanya na kabule kolobat.
Okay. Uki la orenzi kibu ali remasilo kana ano.
Ndidi uta ubi ali remasilo shi. No, I think in reko itimele tsen kai so.
Kuitu itimele anna.
We are very proud of you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Nurse.
Okay, yeah, no, have a nice life. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Go to your voice notes right for picture this. Let's see what you're guessing.
Good morning. Good morning, team. Danielle, I think you're holding, when Gwenela and Connie are holding lipstick.
Nope. Gonna put you out of your misery. We are classic old school Vaseline people.
Vaseline.
It's a small tub of Vaseline. We use it on our lips. Absolutely. Auntie Connie, the Ferguson Foundation, what is that truly about?
So when we started the Ferguson Foundation with Show, it was literally, I'm gonna give a bit of background.
Yeah, yes, of course.
Our industry is hard. People work hard. It's usually hand to mouth. Mm-hmm. But what we realized was that a lot of us don't have financial literacy. Things happen, and COVID exposed a lot of things. Mm-hmm. Like, people lose people, they don't have money to bury people. Mm-hmm. People have emergencies, they don't have money for emergencies. And you look at the situation and wonder. Now, we know people's salaries, right? Mm-hmm. Because we pay those salaries. And you think, what are you doing with your money? How come every time there's an emergency, you have to come in and ask for a loan? So clearly there's a problem here. So initially what Shaw and I wanted to do was start like a financial literacy thing for the industry, because helping from our pockets, which we did a lot, was not sustainable.
Of course,
I mean, we were happy to do it, but it wasn't sustainable. So we thought maybe we should have a vehicle that we could use to come up with these different programs, just to empower in different ways. And we were going to start with the financial literacy for the industry. And then, apart from that, we wanted to build a film school. It's always we, right?
Yeah.
We wanted to do so much together.
He's your husband.
Yes. You know, we wanted to build a film school. So we wanted to do a lot within the industry. But, you know, I've since realized that the need is even outside the industry. So I can't just focus on the industry. We spoke about depression earlier. And, you know, I've been very clear about what family means to me.
Of course.
Like just the unit of family and how that builds communities, and then how these communities end up building our nation. So for me, that's the grassroots. That's where we need to start it. So our focus to begin with is going to be mental health.
I love that.
Yeah. Because, I mean, we have so many foundations doing different things. Obviously, we're raising funds. We're hoping to have a kitty where, you know, if there's a cause that needs assistance in whatever way, we are able to assist. But we want our core focus to begin with to be mental health. And obviously, it'll be in young people, in adults, in families. Because I feel like families are so disjointed right now, especially and black families.
Especially black families. And I read talking about mental ill health.
Yes.
Rabana ngarungwana tsantsalo twasa. Not everyone melayo twasa.
Yeah.
And rabana ngarungwana loiwe. Not everyone loiwe. We see mental health, and it comes, it's so layered.
It's very layered.
It's very
and
layered.
And that's, we need to peel off all those layers and get to it and make people understand and, you know, get families to a point where they are able to support each other without judging. You know, get the different families the assistance that they need to work through issues. You know, get black families to know that therapy is important. You know, you don't see hore ngwana gago ga sharp and then or you know the batsonzo ba go thwasa or uloyilwe, you know, not everything is about buloyi.
Thank you.
Not everything is about buloyi, and unfortunately, you know, we are chemical as well. So when chemicals don't work the way
we are chemical. And those chemical imbalances, when they hit hard. And we don't understand them.
Right.
But there is an understanding to them if you just learn about them.
Yes, absolutely.
I love that. Absolutely. I absolutely love that. When do we launch this foundation?
We launch on the 5th of August at the Houghton Hotel.
5th of August.
5th of August.
Houghton Hotel.
Yes.
So we're inviting ourselves there. We would love to come see this and support this.
Oh, absolutely welcome.
Yes. We'll be there.
Would love to
absolutely
have you there.
And we are extending a VIP invitation to you as well.
Okay.
Because we, as the Kaya family, have a family event coming up in September. It's been a while since Kaya's done a family event. We're back, everybody. Bring your families. We're celebrating our birthday.
Okay.
It's 25 years on air now, and we're going to have a huge celebration of food, music, all your favorite Kaya people, and all your people, and your people,
and your people,
people
and your people.
And their people. Snah.
Yeah.
Tickets are going to go on sale this Friday, but we're already giving you an exclusive VIP invite. You need to please come through and join us.
Oh, I'd love to. Just give me the date so I can block it off.
Absolutely.
Because I'm sure he told you that diary fills up so quickly.
No, yours. I don't even think yours has vacuums of emptiness.
Not at all. Yeah.
It was great decoding you. Thank you for allowing us to decode you. Thank you for trusting us with your vulnerability and your laughter and your humorous side and just you.
Thank you. I think this was therapy as well because I got to go to where I don't usually go.
And I
didn't break down. So yeah, this was humbling, guys. Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
So
Connie Ferguson decoded everyone. Don't forget to live light, laugh long. Yay, Zandla's Ngolile. Love you guys. Have a good one.
Cheers, guys.
959 Breakfast with Dineo and Saul.
You're building a solid empire structure here.
It's a process. I'm trying. Yeah. So I had always told myself that I was never going to be more famous than I'm worth. Fame is literally a side effect of what I do.
Your grandson is adorable.
And very funny.
Is he funny?
He likes to tell corny jokes.
Too corny.
Hey, this is Connie Ferguson. And I have officially been decoded.
959 Breakfast with Dineo and Saul. Monday to Friday, 6 to 9 a.m. on Kaya 959. If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.